Good day to you and welcome to Scribo on Sunday. And as I always say, it doesn't have to be a Sunday due to it being a download show. You can listen to it when you like. And as per usual, I like the opening track, Shed 7, Going for Gold, released back in 1996 at the height of Britpop. And there's an interesting fact about that song, as in Shed 7 were, I suppose what you could say about, wishing to be rude to them, they were sort of third division compared to Pulp, Oasis and Blur, but they were really popular. I played them a lot in the clubs that I had the privilege of running and being a DJ in, and they were an extremely popular band. And if you remember 1996, it was really Britpop's finest moment, and it was very similar to 1966 because we had a major football tournament in the country, and that was the Euro 96, and the England team were fantastic that year, managed by Terry Venables, with characters like Alan Shearer and Paul Gascoigne, and they were going for it, and they got to the semi-final. And the reason I'm telling you that is because the BBC had lined up going for gold, to be their big, big promotional push if England got to the final, i.e. all the adverts going out pre the game to say, come and watch the England team on the BBC, would have carried the song Going for Gold. Or I should imagine Chidseven haven't sent any Christmas cards to Gareth Southgate, because that's the sort of that fickle land of fate that I love talking about in rock and roll. That would have transformed them to the mainstream. So they're incredibly, very, very popular in amongst the music fraternity, shall we say, especially the indie music fraternity. But that song, Going for Gold, would have really resonated with a country absolutely going hyper for the England team at that point. There you go, the fickle hand of fate. And the other reason I played it is to say the same message, because the England ladies have gone one better than the 1996 team, actually miles better, because they've got to a World Cup final, haven't they? And we're all wishing they go for gold today. And yeah, what a fantastic achievement. I've had the privilege of working in professional football for about 22 years. And if you, and I'm going to say now, the most remarkable occurrence, shall we say, thing that's happened in that period is the rise of the ladies' women's game. No one could have predicted the rise in popularity and stature of the ladies' game to where it is now. And fair play to all the people behind England ladies and ladies' football in general, because I think it's absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant for young girls growing up now. There's a pathway. Like, yeah, I'm looking at my granddaughter and I'm thinking, yeah, you can do it now. There's a path where there wasn't for my daughters. And that's the major achievement, I think, of ladies' football. But take nothing away from this current Lioness team. I've watched a lot of football and they are a proper football team. Yeah, I say, ignore the sexuality. They're just a great football team to watch and a joy to watch. And obviously, fingers crossed, it is gold for them. Okay, as per usual with Scribo on Sunday, you've got to have some Clash. But have a bit of a car theme, a brand new Cadillac, followed by an absolute musical legend, Mickey Jupp. Sticking with the car theme, who's stuck behind a Maserati?
You know, baby, I'm your loving man, and I am gonna
Get Stuck Behind a Maserati from Mickey Jupp. And if you don't know who Mickey Jupp is, I'm about to tell you who he is. He's an absolute musician's musician, if you get my drift. Really influential character. And was a true legend of the 70s explosive pre-punk sort of Southend-on-Sea pub rock scene. Dr. Feelgood's guitarist, Wilco Johnson, always cited Jupp, I should say, as a major influence on his style. And he actually wrote the hit tune Down at the Doctor's for the Feelgoods. He signed a Stiff Records in 1978 and put a solo album out, Japanese, two different styles really. The first was recorded with Rock Bowl, produced by Nick Lowe in a sort of raw style, and the second half was produced by Gary Brooker of Procol Harum, which is a little bit slicker. If you want to know a little more about Mickey Jupp, and I urge you to, because there's these characters in music that are so influential and influence another generation that sort of carried a baton. And it's a very interesting book, Mickey Jupp, entitled The Hole in My Pocket, True Legend of Mickey Jupp. And he is a true legend. Talking of legends, the Cadillac, isn't it? Brand new Cadillac Clash, again off London Calling. I think I've nearly played every track off London Calling. Originally cut, if you know, it's a B-side in 1958 of an incredible guy called, well, rock star, musician, whatever you want to call him, Vince Taylor. A really colourful character. He was more popular in France than in Europe, but he was proper, full-on bonkers, if you get my drift. David Bowie said he was the main inspiration for Ziggy Stardust. Okay, here's a band I really like, and I don't think I've played for ages, or if I've played them at all on this MKFM stint. U2.
Thank you.
Bono and the Boys. Still haven't found what I'm looking for, and then Two Hearts Beat as One. That second track, Two Hearts Beating as One, is from their latest album called Surrender, where they sort of collectively reimagined some of their impressive back catalogue of it tunes in a sort of more loose acoustic style. I'll be honest, some of the tunes work, some of them don't. But yeah, you know, why not? They've earned the right to do whatever they want to do, and they can't keep putting... I still haven't Joshua Tree out every year. It would be pretty boring, and I think you two have been clever in pushing themselves into areas that perhaps their listeners might not be comfortable with. Obviously, the band are comfortable with, and fair play to them. They are a great band. I tell you what, it's from the album. It's all based around, Bono's book called The Same, Surrender. I've just started reading it. Bit difficult. It doesn't flow, if you get my drift, but it's very interesting. I'll update you as I progress the book. But if you want to know really about the album, there's a really, really good documentary, I suppose what you can call it, Bono and the Edge, A Sort of Homecoming, with Dave Letterman, the American TV legend. And he's a really interesting character. I never realised that he's so left field, and it's a really good watch. I think it's just over an hour and a bit, and it's him meeting up with the band to explain the album. Surrender, and it's really well made, really well made. And there's some great musical parts in it as well, showing the brilliance of Bono and Edge and U2. Well, it was Joe Jackson's. If you know who Joe Jackson is, great 70s and 80s musician, just a great musician, actually. I think he was 69 this week, but it was his birthday this week. So to wish him the best, I'm going to play these tunes, and I think you will know them.
Say, oh, do the right thing.
Excellent stuff. Joe Jackson. Joe Jackson. Two really good tunes, wasn't it? Is She Really Going Out With Him? And It's Different From Girls. And yeah, I remember them. Remember them well coming out. And he was a breath of fresh air, really. You know, you got to imagine it was three chords and angst and anger and everybody spitting at each other. And Joe Jackson had the nuts, shall we say, to come out and sort of be a pop star, really, you know, in the middle of it all. And I think, actually, I think people applauded that. And I think his songs might have inspired Elvis Costello to sort of stay with his true musical origins. And he did much the same, really. But no, great, very popular, very popular. Good album. The first album, Look Sharp, Sunday Papers, another great song. I'll try and play that in a few weeks. But that was his first release was Is She Really Going Out of Him back in 79. And had a lot more singles come out, but none of them as successful as that one. Until really 1982, when he made a really good sort of tune, Stepping Out, which I think crossed the Atlantic and was a major hit for him. It's Different for Girls came off the album, I'm a Man. And he's a really interesting character, isn't he, Joe Jackson? You know, I find him fascinating. And he was just, as he sort of grew up, he was just playing in bars at the age of 16. He was a very qualified musician, you know, gifted musician. He went to London's Royal Academy of Music, actually, but he just loved getting out and playing, and he used to play all the bars. And his real name is not Joe Jackson, it's David Jackson. And the reason he's called Joe is because all his mates and his musicians thought he looked like Joe 90. And he liked it, and he stuck with it, and he actually legally changed his name to Joe. Not Joe 90, Joe Jackson. Okay, let's have some beat music. And if you're going to have some beat music, let's have the beat.
Listen to you, kid. How come you never really seem to get through?
What a great band. I think regular listeners to my show know how much I appreciate that band, The Beat. Superb, wasn't it? Absolutely superb. Best Friend came out in 1980, I think, from a really good album, I Just Can't Stop. And then a track I really liked, Too Nice to Talk To, from an album a few years later, 1983. And yeah, great band. Really good band. I don't think they ever really got the credit they deserved, actually. There was so many new bands coming out of that period from the two-tone era and whatever. And I think they got overlooked a little bit, critically. But they were very popular. But again, one of them sort of musicians band. I know Pete Townsend of The Who really, really, really liked The Beat. And I think they went on their tour. I think they toured them. And The Who actually performed Save It For Later on as part of their set. Which I don't think, that's a pretty big accolade, and Pearl Jam as well. So there you go, they did cross the Atlantic, but not with critical success, but with musical success, should we say. You know, not actually, they did get critical success, but not sort of a hits. Okay, I'm in a bit of a rocking mood, so yeah, we've had a nice sort of chilling start to the show. It's time to liven things up, and if you're going to liven things up, get Liam Gallagher in the room and The Cult.
Crucifix.
Well, if you're listening in the morning, that should have woke you up. Two really good rock and roll songs. That's what rock and roll is all about. Great beat, great rhythm, good lyrics, yeah, blah, blah, blah. And Greedy Soul, that was the opening track from Liam Gallagher. I think that was a superb, you know, statement, wasn't it? He's really come of age, isn't he, lately, Liam Gallagher, as a solo artist, obviously. He's respected all around the world for what he did with Oasis. But, yeah, he's really... really gained, hasn't he, and selling out festivals and tours and really enjoying himself. And that came out in 2017. Didn't realise it was that long ago. And when he was interviewed, he told The Independent, it reminds me of a Vindaloo, that song. It makes me feel hot and sweaty. That's Liam Gallagher for you. And he did perform the song on Jules Holland. And on the show, the TV show, Jules Holland, Jimmy Webb, look him up. I'm not going to sit here and bore you. Jimmy Webb is an absolute musical legend, songwriter, lyricist. And he was on the show and he tweeted Liam after it saying the lyrics in that are absolutely top draw, i.e. and it's a long way down when you're the wrong way round. And he said that's one of the finest lyrics I've ever heard. And I think legend has it that Liam Gallagher's got that framed on his wall. Moving on to The Cult, great band. Love the band. Everyone loves The Cult, don't they? Love Removal Machine from their album Electric in 1987. Produced by Rick Rubin. Again, look that one up. He's a bit of a legend as well. Musical legend, producing legend. And that song, Removal Machine, for what it's worth, was named 74th Best Hard Rock Song by VH1. Wow. Okay. Let's chill out again now. Real chill time. And I'm going to pay homage to a true musical legend, and I do mean a musical legend. Take it away, Michael.
Show her.
unmistakable, yes, the unmistakable brilliance of Michael Jackson around about 1972. I think those both those songs come out from him. His first solo album called Got To Be There. And that voice is unmatched, really, isn't it? I mean, there's a lot of children, youngsters or whatever have come on, into the pop charts, or you know, you go, oh, that sounds sweet, or that sounds nice. No, that just sounds brilliant. I've often chatted, and I, about having my time machine in music, you know, to go back into musical events and go back and experience them personally. And I'd like to have been in the room at Tumbler Motown when Berry Gordy first saw and then listened to Michael Jackson, because the voice is like, it's an instrument. It is unmatched. And he was so influential then as well around that time. I would have been 13, I think, 1972, and a lot of my friends, you know, really looked up to him, really loved Michael Jackson. Their families did and everything. He was a real role model for them, as was Desmond Dekker, you know, as well. But Michael Jackson was special because he always looked really cool as well. I think they followed his fashion as much as they followed his songs. And yeah, you know, he did get to the, as John Lennon always said, get to the top of most of the top of most, wherever. And he did conquer the world, didn't he? When I think we were all pleased when Thriller came out for him to get the success that I think we all felt we deserved. And then it all went a bit weird, didn't it, really? But not surprising, music industry is a weird industry to become successful in. You've got to be careful what you wish for at times. But take nothing away from Michael Jackson, an absolute musical legend, just proved there by Got To Be There and Ain't No Sunshine, Bill Withers song, which I mixed in, but it's on the album. Go and listen to the album. It's amazing. It's so good. It is really good. Talking of good, and thank you for all the emails and notes and messages, whatever we get nowadays, regarding last week's show. I didn't know how it would go, really, me chatting away with Steve Skibarith of Super Karma. We were talking about their album and our musical influences, but it seemed to resonate and got really good, positive. So nice. It's nice to receive some nice things on email. not the usual. And I'm going to play it again. I'm going to play the track that I played first. This is from Super Karma, Milton Keynes Band. This is their debut album, 20 Years in the Making. But there's a story behind it. And if you want to know the story behind it, go and find last week's show and listen to it. I'm not going to bore you again with it. But I do like this song. I said it just keeps growing on me all the time. I Remember You, Say Goodbye. It's online. You can get it on Spotify, YouTube, whatever, iTunes. You know, Super Karma is the album. Just look for it. Bang it in the computer. And either have a listen on Spotify for now, or do me a favour and buy it. Followed by Bad Head by Blur. Here you go. Two really good songs.
I remember you. take me where you are. I need to know that feeling on that distant star. I remember you. I remember you. I remember you in the open room. We were super cool. Summer 92. I keep a picture of you. I keep a picture of you.
Excellent. Two really good songs from two very good bands. One of them sort of known more by the general public, that being Blur, Badhead, from the excellent album Park Life, which I've spoken about before, so I'm not going to talk again. If you haven't listened to it, do yourself a favour and go and listen to Park Life. Super Karma, I Remember You, Say Goodbye. Again, from the Super Karma debut album called Super Karma. So be super and get some karma in your life and go and buy it or just go and listen to it. We were talking on that show last week about great pop songs. Do you know what? I'm in a pop mood now. We've had a rock, we've had a chill out, whatever. Just, you know, I want to hear some nice pop tunes. And trust me, there's nothing wrong with that. And there's nothing wrong with the Pretenders. The unmistakable sound of the Pretenders. And it is, that's a compliment. You know, that is a real compliment to a band, to be that original, I think. I think as soon as you hear the opening bars of a song, you know it's the Pretenders. A very distinctive voice, which some, you know, I think it's a bit of a Marmite voice for some people, but the musicianship and the style is really original, and there's so many influences in there. But the end result is two great pop tunes, Back in the Chain Gang. That was out in 1982, and I don't know where it got, but it did got in the charts. It didn't get forgotten. And also, Don't Get Me Wrong, which that was one of my favourites. It's just a great style, and I've got a lot of time for Chrissie Hynde. And if you want to know why, there's a great documentary on Disney Plus, whatever it is, called Pistol, and it's based around the... It's Danny Boyle's take on the Sex Pistols story, or yeah, Steve Jones's story of the Sex Pistols, really. But it's brilliant. I've watched it a couple of times, minimum. And Chrissie Hynde, quite rightly, is featured in it because she was a really pivotal part in the creation of punk rock, really. And she just couldn't get aboard. Onboard it, really. I felt for her. And it comes across well in the documentary that there she was instigating a lot of stuff. She came over from America in 1973. Because she is American, and then she met up with, and she actually went out, she was the girlfriend of the legendary rock journalist Nick Kent, and she actually ended up getting a job at the NME, but I don't think her writing of the print world was anything matched to her songwriting, but she was in the mix, and she could see what was coming, as in the punk rock scene, and she was really on board with it, and helped Steve Jones a lot, and she was actually gutted that when Sid Vicious got the job, that she didn't get the job. That would have been interesting, wouldn't it? That would have been interesting, Chrissie Hynde on bass in the Sex Pistols. But she stuck to her guns, didn't she? And she got there, and deservedly so. And is still out there rocking the free world. So there you go. A band she would have liked is the Zombies. And I like the Zombies, and I've got a fantastic tale about these songs, okay, afterwards. So listen to the songs. Stay with me.
Well, no one told me about her, the way she lied. Well, no one told me about her, how many people cried. But it's too late to say you're sorry. How would I know? Why should I care? Please don't bother trying to find her. She's not there. Well, let me tell you about the way she looked, the way she acted, the color of her hair. Her voice was soft and cool, her eyes were clear and bright, but she's not there. No one told me about her. What could I do? Well, no one told me about her, though they all knew. But it's too late to say you're sorry. How would I know? Why should I care? Please don't bother trying to find her. She's not there. She acted, the color of her hair. Her voice was soft and cool, her eyes were clear and bright, but she's not there. Don't bother trying to find her. She's not there. Well, let me tell you about the way she looked, the way she acted, the color of her hair. Her voice was soft and cool, her eyes were clear and bright, but she's not there.
I realize that I've been in your eyes some kind of fool. What I do, what I did, stupid fish, I drank the pool. I've been doing some dying, now I'm doing some trying. So say don't mind, and let me off this time. I came into this scene when my dreams were getting bad. And who rides with the tide and who's glad with what it had? I've been doing some whining, now I'm doing some finding. So say don't mind, you let me off this time. To you I'm blind, something inside, say you don't mind. Better times. That's a time to get back and think up some better line. I've been doing some growing, but I'm scared where you're going. So say you don't mind, you let me off this time. You let me off this time.
Yeah, She's Not There by The Zombies, followed by Say You Don't Mind from The Zombies' lead singer, Colin Blunston. Great tunes from a great band. Now, I promised you a story behind the songs, and the first one is absolutely remarkable, i.e. She's Not There. Now, some of you are musicians and listening. I know that from, you know, the people who are listening who send me emails and whatever. Now, just put this scenario in your mind that you're just a local band playing covers. You're really enjoying life. You're going around and you're in St Albans, because that's where The Zombies were based. And they were just playing 4 or 5 nights a week, having a great time. They were very, very popular in St Albans. So they played all the best clubs. They had all the best people following them, i.e. girls and mates and what have you. And they were big time boys in their own community, which is fantastic. I've experienced that, and I think a lot of other people have, and there's nothing better. It's really good. So then they go and enter a talent contest. You win the talent contest, and part of winning the talent contest is a free recording session with a record company. You go in, you write your first song, you record it, and then about 3 months later, you're number one in America, and you're getting off planes, and people are screaming at you. And that's what happened to The Zombies. So now I'll go into a bit more detail, but what a great story. So basically, it was 1964, and they entered the Hearts Beat competition, and they won it, and they won it with a cover of Gershwin's Summertime, and they got £250, that's a lot of money back in 1964, and an offer to record a single for Decca Records. So the band were absolutely on fire, absolutely delighted. Well, you would be. £250, you're kings of your own community. And you've now got a chance to record a single for Decca. I mean, you remember Decca were big, big news, Rolling Stones, more of them. And they just thought, oh, we'll go in and do we'll do Summertime because it won the contest, you know, we'll go with that. And Rod Argent recalls, he was in the band, who went on to become a really successful rock musician as well. He had a good mate of him called up, producer Ken Jones. He said, you know what, you've got an opportunity here, don't waste it, don't go in and do a cover version, go and write a song, use it, you know, use it to show your own ability. And he'd only written one song before, Rod Argent. So that's half of it, that's half of the fickle hand of fate, that someone just stepped in and gave him a bit of advice. But this is where it gets fascinating. So the band, you know, all excitedly arrive at Decca's studio in the early evening just to do this, but their first ever, ever recording session. And they walk in all excited, and what they find is the chief engineer who's in charge of producing their first session is absolutely blind drunk. He's been at a wedding all day, and he's not in a good mood because he's obviously had to leave the wedding to come in and record this, you know, talent contest band, and he didn't want to be there, and he really was giving the band abuse. And Colin Blunston said, well, blimey, if this is rock and roll, you can forget it. They were all getting really upset about it. Much to the band's relief, in the end the inebriated engineer actually passed out in the middle of the recording studio. The band were a bit concerned that he was more than passed out, that he'd actually passed away, but they could tell he was still breathing. So they carried him upstairs, found a taxi, found where he lived, and waved him goodbye with an element of relief. But then that relief sort of turned to grief, really, because they felt the session and the opportunity had been lost to this guy getting completely drunk. But, well, it wasn't, because has fate, the fickle hand of fate, had it? There was a very young sound engineer who was there as an apprentice, and he just popped up and said, well, I'll do it. I'll produce the session. And that boy was none other than Gus Duggan, who would later become the legendary early 70s music producer. Well, just a legendary music producer of Elton John and David Bowie. So that was a stroke of luck. And he did. He nailed the session in about 30 minutes, a couple of takes. I mean, those are the days, isn't it? No multi-tracking, and then we got to get a digital mix, and then we got to get a master mix. No, just record it really well, and put it in a box and make a record. And they made the record, and as I said, really short time later, number one in America. So that song that got to number one in America had that chaotic recording session. That was followed by Say You Don't Mind, was a great song, originally written by Denny Lane of Moody Blues and The Wings. He put it out a couple of times with the Moody Blues, I think, and the Electric String Band, and John Paul Jones did a version of it, but it got nowhere. And I think the reason those two versions didn't get anywhere, because it didn't have that superb string arrangement. And that string arrangement was done by Christopher Gunning. And he just came in, and they told him what they wanted. He went off, had a cup of coffee, wrote the charts out, and come in with that brilliant, absolutely stunning string arrangement for the song. Which, let's face it, it makes the song, though Colin Blunston does sing it remarkably well. And he got paid £15 for that. £15 to transform a song from a sort of a okay into an international hit. So, but that's what happened in the days. That's what you got as a session musician. I remember Herbie Flowers, who did similar thing for Walk on the Wild Side, that hypnotic bass line. He just came up with that, and he got £15 for it. And through George Webley, if you know George Webley, he's a local musician who I knew well, I always just say, well, how did he cope with that? And he said he coped remarkably well, because everybody wanted Herbie Flowers in their session after it. That's what he told George, because George knew him really well. He said, you can't regret getting the £15 and it goes on to be a hit. You've got to be delighted, because it just generated. And he probably worked off that bass line for a long, long time. Oh, excuse me, I thought I was going to cough. Right, that's the end of the show. Might have been shorter, might have been longer, I don't know. But I just, my stomach tells me when I think you've had enough of listening to my dulcet tones. As we started the show, we were paying homage to the Lioness, and I want to do the same. I do believe they'll win it, because I think they're mentally stronger and physically stronger than the opposition. In other words, I think the Lionesses are absolutely brilliant. A brilliant football team. Disregard the sexuality of it. I've seen enough football, and I have to appreciate that these girls, these ladies, are up a real unit, and they know what they're doing, and no one seems to be able to get in their way of getting to where they want. So, yeah, they're going to bring it home. enjoy it. Make sure you watch the ladies and support them. I'm going to. And my advice to them, because I like to give advice in football. Everybody does. Everybody gives an opinion and advice. My only advice to our superb lionesses is if you see a chance, take it.
When some cold